Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to see. Thankful for the gift of life you have bestowed upon us once more. We're thankful, Lord, for you being a never-changing God who is immutable in his promises. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for showing how much love you have for us, Lord, and breathing breath into our nostrils, Lord. We pray that this evening that we utilize the gospel, that we listen to the message Brother Williams will share with us, and that we will be able to hear and understand and believe the love you have showed for us through your Son, Jesus. You poured out your wrath upon him rather than us, Lord, and you've given us this opportunity to obey, to submit to your commandments before you would send him to return to claim those who have been faithful until death. Thankful for the church of Christ, the one church, the one body, the kingdom that your Son has established. We pray, Lord, that those who are within the kingdom can live accordingly to its precept, and as the door remains open for one to obey and be added to this kingdom, Lord, pray that there's someone listening this evening who wants to obey the truth. Lord, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Clonell. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. And we're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on. If you're on tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we did put this call on with you in mind. So we pray that you will now open your Bible, take notes of the things to be said by our speaker tonight as it pertains to your soul salvation. People are dying every day with the COVID situation. We're seeing death plastered on the TVs, and we are knowing God is still in control. It's pointing to man wants to die. Without that, a judgment. We encourage you to listen carefully tonight as our speaker will bring a message to us. In the person of Brother Robert Williams, Brother Robert Williams serves as an elder and minister of the Park Village Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. And we're so thankful that he's joined us tonight. He accepted our invitation. He would speak to us about what does the Bible say about denominational churches. You don't want to miss this one. Brother Williams, will you tell us what does the Bible say about denominational churches? Brother Robert Williams.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Have you ever wondered why there are so many different churches that claim to serve the same God and intend to go to the same heaven but cannot get along in this life? This is a question that puzzled me 38 years ago when I began a serious search of the truth. After getting married and having two children, I realized that I needed to examine the Bible closely for my spirituality and also for the well-being and spirituality of my family. As parents, we play a large role in the spiritual development of our children, and we should. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So we have a responsibility not only to save our souls, but particularly if we have a family, we have relatives and friends, we want to help them get to heaven. So after doing some soul searching, it became clear to me that I did not know what the Bible taught about churches and why I was a member of the denomination that I attended. But one thing I can thank my parents for is that they taught me to be honest in my assessment of myself, regardless of what it may pertain to. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 8, and what is what we call the Beatitude, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart is speaking of those who are honest. Honesty is one of the basic characteristics that we must have if we're going to come to a knowledge of the truth and admit our wrongs and correct them before it's everlasting too late. So I began to study the Bible for myself and my family, and I quickly realized that there was something wrong with what was being practiced at the denomination that I attended and what the Bible taught. I had attended church all of my life and had been an active participant, but I had only done what someone had told me to do and not what I had been taught from the scriptures. I had not studied the Bible for myself and gotten the information from myself. I simply did not have my own faith, but the faith of my parents. Some would say it was a hand-me-down faith. But the Bible teaches that all of us must have faith and conviction in order to be pleasing to the Lord. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And the faith that we must have must be biblical faith. And biblical faith is based upon the word of God and not man's doctrine. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the proper faith, the saving faith, is going to be based upon the teachings of the Bible. Well, the first glaring problem that I saw was that there were so many churches in my community, small churches where I was reared in central Mississippi, competing with one another and struggling to some degree to survive. So I began to seek answers. And as I began to seek answers, God, through his divine providence, helped me ultimately understand the truth. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I believe that the Lord gets the seeker and the messenger together wherever they may be if they are sincerely seeking the truth. It may be through written word, it may be through preaching, it may be through listening on this program, as some of you are tonight. But we need to know that God is always going to do his part that we might have eternal life. The Bible said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I submit to you that God has done his part, and now it's incumbent on us to respond to the great sacrifice that Jesus made in giving his life for the sin of the world. And then we have to make the decision how we're going to respond to the opportunity when we hear the message from heaven that is from God's word. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." We have to believe to the point that we will obey what the Bible commands that we do. And so if you're listening to this program tonight, I don't believe it's an accident that you're here tonight. I believe that it is through God's divine providence that we're going to spend a few moments tonight discussing my subject, what does the Bible say about denominational churches? What does the Bible say about denominational churches? And this is an interesting topic to me because I came out of a denomination myself. 38 years ago, I was a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church where I was reared. When I began to teach on moral issues like adultery, drinking, lying, stealing, and so on, I noticed that the religious leaders got angry. And this really puzzled me at the time because I did not understand why anyone at church would not want to hear everything that the Bible taught on living a holy and righteous life that's going to help us get to heaven. But, of course, I matured later, and I understand better now what was happening. But I quickly realized that the scripture and what was taught and believed at the denomination that I attended were not going to agree. And so I eventually withdrew from the Baptist church and began to study the Bible day and night on my own for myself. And I know that we can read the Bible tonight. We can read the Bible. You can read the Bible tonight. And we can understand what it teaches on salvation and the church and what we must do in order to have eternal life. My friends, the Bible is not complicated. We simply must read it and accept it in its context for what it teaches. After all, the Bible is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Simply put, the Bible is the mind of God put in human words so that we can understand what God's will is for our life. So this theory that we cannot understand the Bible is not true. I don't believe that God, who created us, who created the universe, and gave us a handbook by which we are to follow, that we may be pleasing to him, I don't believe that God, the greatest being that we know, would write a book that we could not understand. Indeed, the Bible is written on a very simple level. It is said that the Bible is written on a 12-year of age level. Anyone that's old enough to read and reason logically can understand the Bible. Jesus said, consider something else. Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my words hath one that judge him. The word, that is the message that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, Jesus said that we're going to be judged by what is written in the Bible. And I don't believe God would have been evil enough to give us a Bible that we could not understand and then hold us accountable to what it teaches. Yes, there's a lot of confusion in the world today when it comes to religion, denominationalism, what the Bible teaches, but it did not come from God. The Bible tells us, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. So the thing that complicates the Bible is really men's doctrine and not what is written by God. It's when men inject their ideas into the scriptures instead of reading the Bible for the facts that are in the Bible and drawing our conclusion from what the Bible says, that is called exegeting, and that's how we should read the Bible. Let the Bible speak and we obey. So when we do this, when we let the Bible speak, then the truth is going to become clear and easy for us to accept. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free from all of the error and confusion in the world. So what I want to do tonight, I want to look at some passages that I studied 38 years ago that helped me understand denominationalism and the true church that we can read about in the Bible. One of the scriptures that I looked at is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. And this scripture explains the origination of the idea of a church. Jesus was the first one to say that he was going to build a church. As you know, in the context, Jesus had asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, some Elias, or one of the prophets. He said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter confessed to God, to Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this confession that I am the Son of God, I will build, notice, my church. And the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Even if they kill me, I'm going to go into the Hadean realm, and I'm going to come up, I'm going to arise, and I'm going to build my church. And sure enough, after Jesus was crucified, he was dead, buried for 3 days. He arose on the third day. 50 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem. And on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 33, Jesus started his church in Jerusalem, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so when we read this scripture, we see that Jesus said he was going to build his church. So we don't see but one church that he was going to build. And whose church was it going to be? I'm going to build my church. How complicated is that? We can all read that and understand that he was going to be of one church, and the church was going to belong to Christ. Well, briefly, well, how would one get into that church then? Well, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2, in verse 47, after the question had been asked on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38-8, they asked the question, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it went on at the end of the chapter. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, notice, the church daily, such as should be saved. What church did he add to? It had to be the church that Christ said he was going to build, the one church that we can read about in the Bible. And that's why we call it the Church of Christ, not because it is a denomination, but because it belongs to Christ. And all we can be today is a Christian and a Christian only. Well, what name? What about the name? Now, we're going to get to this, make this clear as we go on. What about the name that we should wear? Well, in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice, Peter said that there is none other name. If it's a name under heaven on earth, given among men, we can't be saved by it. If there's any name that a man named the church, we can't be saved in that, because the only name, the only authority that we can be saved by is Jesus Christ. How difficult is that scripture? Very clear. Easy to understand. Someone would have to do a lot of explaining to get us to not understand that we have to be saved in the name of Christ. Well, what is the church? We talk about the church. Is it a building? What constitutes the church? Where is the church? Well, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible reads, and has put all things under his feet, speaking about Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Notice the church again, going all the way back to Matthew 16:18, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of Christ. When you talk about the body, you're talking about the church. Those two terms can be used interchangeably. So he's speaking about a spiritual body, not a physical body, but a spiritual body. And then Paul went on to write in the book of Ephesians, the same letter, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did you pick up on one, one, one? It's only one. One body. Just sure as there's one heaven, there's only one faith. Just sure as there's one God, there's only one body, and that body is the body of Christ. Another passage I studied 38 years ago closely is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, which tells us about what makes up the church, the body. In 1 Corinthians, we know the Corinthians had a problem with division, and Paul used the analogy of the physical body to teach a lesson about the spiritual body. And he says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Notice, one body. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter about one's nationality. When one obeys the gospel and is baptized, he's added to the one body, the church that Christ built. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And he goes on to talk about the necessity of all the parts of the body. And then in verse 27 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he said, now ye are the body of Christ. Now, we have already established that the body in the church can be used interchangeably, the words, because they are speaking of the same thing, the spiritual body of Christ. So we could substitute the word church. Now, ye are the church of Christ, and members in particular. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 1:18, lets us know that he is the head of the body, that is, Christ is the head of the church. So the church that we read about in the Bible has its headquarters in heaven, and it has only one head, and that head is Christ. Again, consider the Lord's Prayer. You know, in the book of John, chapter 17, 20, and 21, when we think about denominationalism and the one church that we can read about in the Bible, when just before Jesus was crucified, he prayed a prayer for all of his disciples and all of us. He said, neither pray I for these alone, in John 17, 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Notice the word one again. The Bible emphasized unity, one, as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Why is there so much lack of interest in religion in the world today? Maybe it's because there is so much division in religion. We see all of these different denominations, and generally they don't like each other. They don't really fellowship with each other like they should. Oh, yeah, they visit occasionally with one another, but they have a set of doctrine that goes along with their particular denomination and is not based on the Bible in most cases. So I understood these scriptures when I read them on my own well enough to go back to the Baptist church that I attended, and informed them that there was only one church discussed in the Bible. I knew I had left them and they had been gone for a while, but I wanted to go back, and I thought they would be glad to know that I had discovered that there is only one church in the Bible, and that church is the body of Christ. And I suggested to them in excitement that we would just all come together and have one church. And you can probably imagine the resistance that I received. And they simply told me that you just need to mind your own business. You go to heaven your way, and I go mine. And that kind of ended those efforts. My friends, division is exactly opposite of what the Lord intended for Christianity. And we see that denominationalism itself defines division. You are all familiar with fractions, or we are all familiar with fractions. We have a 1/4, 1/2, 1/3, but the fourth is a denomination. That is the denominator. And so denominationalism within itself says that I'm not one, but I'm only a part of the one. And the Bible teaches explicitly against that. Consider what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. The Corinthians were having trouble with division, and they were following preachers instead of Christ. And Paul had to deal with that problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now I ask you, do we all speak the same thing religiously? No, of course we don't. But I can tell you one thing, if you listen to this program, if you've been listening over the last 3 months, I haven't heard all the speakers. I didn't submit my manuscript to the host of this show to tell him what I was going to teach. But I guarantee you, if you listen to all the speakers, you're going to hear us saying the same thing when it comes to the truth. Why is that? It's because we are following the Bible, not knowing what either one of us is teaching or what we intend to teach. When we study the Bible, we're going to teach the same thing. And it's very likely that if you heard the lesson last night and you listen to it next week, you're going to hear some of the same things being taught because we're speaking the same word that is speaking from the Bible. And then Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul. There you go. Some of them wanted to follow Paul, and another said, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And then Paul went on to say, if Christ divided, of course not. Was Paul crucified for you? Of course not. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, we're baptized in the name of Christ, and that's the only name that we're to wear, that is the name of a Christian. And Paul went on to say, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 17, we read about what we call the transfiguration. That is, Peter and John were taken up into the mountain with Jesus, and he was transfigured, the Bible says. And then in verse 4 of chapter 17 of Matthew, the Bible said, beginning at verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him, with Christ. And then answered Peter. Peter got excited and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And he was right. That was a good thing for him to be there. If thou will. Peter had a great idea. Peter said, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, if there ever was someone that a church should have been named after, I think Moses would have been a good choice. I think Elijah, being the great prophet he was, would have been a great choice. But this is one of only three occasions that I'm familiar with in which God spoke from heaven with an audible voice. And God spoke from heaven, the Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 17, while Peter yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, God said, no, Peter, it's Christ and Christ only. Now, if there ever was a time for God to endorse a multiplicity of churches, it would have been then, and God said no. You see, my friends, Christ never intended for there to be all these denominations in the world. It is the work of Satan to confuse the world so that good people who want to please the Lord, there are many good people in denominations who are doing their best to go to heaven, but they have been misled. Good people who want to please the Lord and go to heaven find it very difficult to find the truth. You see, when Satan understood that there was only one way, that the church was the vehicle by which God wanted to save the world, he said, I'm going to put so many churches out there that they're not going to know what is the right church. And so when one begins to look for the truth, oftentimes it's very difficult to find. You know, Jesus spoke a parable in the book of Matthew 13 about the tares and the wheat. And he talked about there was a man who went forth and planted tares, and while he slept, someone came and sowed tares in his field. And when the blade sprung up, it brought forth fruit, and then appeared the tares also with the wheat. Now, one thing you need to understand is that wheat and tares look very similar while they're growing, but when they develop and become full, you can see the difference. The tare is black and is not good for anything but to be burned. But the wheat, of course, is used for many different benefits of mankind. And so this is one of the few parables that Jesus actually interpreted himself. Matthew 13:37. I want to go through that quickly. He asked and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The streets that we drive up and down where all of us live, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, see, when we drive up and down the streets anywhere in America, you see church buildings, and they all look alike. You go down the street on Sunday morning, you'll see people getting out of their cars dressed nicely or however how they want to dress, looking very similar. If you would put your ear to the door, you would hear singing in every building. You would hear preaching in every building. You'd hear teaching and people congregating and fellowshipping together. But if you look closely and look at the doctrine, you'll find out that very few of them are actually teaching, and those are going to be the churches of Christ that are actually teaching the doctrine of Christ. These are the tares that Satan has put in the world to confuse men. Denominationalism, my friends, builds walls. Ephesians 2:14, Christ tore down the wall, but denominationalism actually builds walls, causes division. The fact is, when it comes to denominationalism and what the Bible teaches, the Bible doesn't teach anything about denominations. If we want to know about denominations, we have to go to a book that is written by man. Denominations were not started until 1,500 years after Christ built his church on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 33, during what is called the Reformation movement that Martin Luther is credited for starting. Well, what is the problem with that? Well, is it denominations were started, number one, in the wrong place. The Bible predicted that the church that we read about in the Bible was going to be started in Jerusalem, and it was. Not only was our denomination started in the wrong place, they were started by the wrong person. The only one that can start a church is Christ. And not only the wrong place and the wrong person, but denominations were started at the wrong time. The time was during the Roman government, according to Daniel 2:44, and that was during the time of Christ. My friends, the Bible tells us, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain, they build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake it, but in vain. A man does not have the authority to build a church. The only church that we have the authority to be a member of is the church that Christ built. 1 Corinthians 3:11. But other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this passage before we offer the invitation tonight. In the book of Matthew 7:22, in the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher the world has ever known, as Jesus was summing up his sermon, he fast-forwarded us to the judgment day. And Jesus said, many will say to me, in that day, that is the final day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And so, then Jesus, the Bible goes on to say, Jesus will say, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that number on the day of judgment. And you don't have to be in that number on the day of judgment. I submit to you that notice all of these people, they called him Lord. They did good things. They did good works. They built hospitals. They fed the hungry, houses, and did a lot of good things in this life. But they did not do it according to the teachings of the Bible. Ye workers of iniquity. The word iniquity means lawless. That is, yes, they attempted to serve God, but they did it their way and not the Lord's way. And God's going to say, I don't know you. And I tell you, that is a sad day. So, yes, when it comes to denominationalism, the Bible does not talk about denominationalism because there is no denomination in the Bible. You can't read about one from the book of Genesis to Revelation. The only church we read about is the church that Christ built. That is the church of Christ. And so it's really not that hard to come out of a denomination. I did it. If you really want to please the Lord, you can come out. And all you have to do to come out is, first of all, hear the gospel. And we talked about that tonight, how that Christ died. He was buried. He was rose again. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. If you believe that, then that is the saving faith that we have to have. According to John 3:16, we have to believe. And then we have to repent of our sins. In the book of Acts 17:30 and 31, the Bible says the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. That is, if you're in a denomination and now you know that there's only one church in the Bible, come out. There's nothing stopping you or prohibiting you from coming out. And when you come out, go back and bring as many others out as you can. But then after we repent, we have to confess the name of Christ. Don't be ashamed to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And then after we confess, we go down into the watery grave of baptism, where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, and our sins are washed away. This is the verse that helped me understand why I needed to be baptized. When the question was asked on the day of Pentecost, what must I do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And baptism is when your sins are remitted. You see, baptism is the final step that we must take to show our obedience and submission to Christ. And baptism is where the old man dies. This is what Paul was talking about in the book of Romans 6 and verse 3. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You see, when we are baptized, that is when the old man dies. When you get baptized, you're going to momentarily stop breathing. And when you stop breathing and go under the water, you stop life's activity at its fullness for that old man. And if you didn't breathe anymore, that old man would never live biologically again. But you go down into the watery grave of baptism, you stop breathing, the old man dies, and then you come in contact with the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism, and when we arise out of the watery grave of baptism and take our first breath, that's when the new man begins to live. That's when the spiritual birth takes place, and that's how we take part and we emulate the death and resurrection of Christ in baptism. My friends, it's not hard. If you're in a denomination, I urge you to come out before it's too late. And if you are a Christian and maybe you have erred from the faith, you need to come back before it's everlasting too late and redevote your life to Christ. And heaven will be your home if you live faithfully unto death. We thank you for listening.
And we thank you, Brother Williams. I heard you the first time with GBN talking about how you came out of denominational church. So do I. I grew up believing. And Baptist people, good people, wonderful people, nothing but the people. And my family was all Baptist, but we did not do it the way God said, do it in the Bible. So to our friends that are listening tonight, we wanted you to hear just this, to know, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. The Bible is very clear that men must obey the truth according to the scripture in order to be saved. And so we speak the truth in love tonight. We're not saying this to be mean to anyone, but do we want you to know exactly what Brother Weaver's talked about tonight. Denominational churches are not in the Bible. And we pray you will listen carefully tonight and come out obeyed by being baptized and added to the one true church that is the Church of Christ. If you want more information, you desire to be baptized, or you desire for a further Bible study, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or get back in touch with the person who invited you to hear this message tonight, and they will make the arrangement. We will help you find a congregation close to you, get you baptized, and as Brother Weaver said, it's not too late to come out of what's not scriptural. You don't want to take a chance on losing your soul. And then if you want to go back, you say, well, I want to hear that one more time. I'm in a denominational church. I wasn't clear on some of the things he said or whatever. Then go to our website at Our Heights. COC.net. That's HollandHeightsCOC.net, HollandHeightsCOC.net, and there all the recorded messages will be there. You can hear Brother Robert Williams again and all of the other speakers with different topics that you may have interest in, and you can freely download those and listen to them carefully for yourself. Remember, it's your soul, and no one will stand with you on the day of judgment. We're so thankful you joined us tonight. Let's pray to God. Our prayer, Father, is that you would continue to bless us in a special way. We thank you so very much tonight for loving us, for giving your son. And we know he died a cruel death through crucifixion on the cross. Lord, we know he suffered. We know he was in pain and he shedded blood. And that blood would purchase his church. And you gave us your book, called the Bible. If only men would and women would listen and read your book, it's a simple message that we too must believe that your Son was the Son of God. And without ever seeing him on the cross, we believe he suffered there for us. And that blood will wash away our sins in baptism and add us to the church he purchased with his own blood, the Church of Christ. We pray for you, our visitors, Lord, that they know that what we're speaking tonight is speaking the truth in love, only because we know it was your Son who said, few would find the straight and narrow way. We pray your blessings upon our listeners, that they will receive with meekness your engrafted word, knowing it's able to save their precious souls. Thank you for Brother Williams. Thank you for the message. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Call again next week, 9 to 9:30. Thank you for allowing us to come to your home with a message from the Word of God. And we pray next week you would join us for week 3. And week opening us would be Brother Roger Leonard, Baptism Saving Us. We are excited about all those who recently obeyed the gospel. New members of the body of Christ, San Diego, Cargill, Texas, all of these, and many we've heard of baptisms. And we thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you for the members of the Church of Christ who support us weekly, who've sent us even financial support, even though we're not soliciting. And you've done that. If you're one of those who desire to continue to do financial support this effort, just go to our website, hollerightclc.net, go to online giving, and there's that nationwide gospel meeting call. You can donate to the call. It is not required at all, but there are many who are requesting to support, and we thank you for that. We know you love God, and we know you love the gospel being preached. Thank you for your support. We promise to use it in a good way for the cause of Christ. We pray God will bless you all tonight. You have a good night, a good weekend. Prepare for first day of the week worship on Sunday morning. We pray everyone will have a good night's rest and it be peaceful. We love you. Good night.